أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We express our thanks and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with the ability to experience another month of Rajab, now coming to the end of it, and tonight is the night of Mab'ath according to the calendars. Some accounts have registered it as the night of Mi'raj or Isra, the Holy Prophet being transferred from Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then from there he went on his spiritual journey. However, the more accurate account is that this is the night of Mab'ath, the night in the morning of which, in other words, early morning, sometime tomorrow, was the day that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi was given the task, the mission, to guide mankind with revelation that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we congratulate all the brothers and sisters and all the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, all Muslimin, all followers of the Holy Prophet, all those who believe in Islam, and all people on this great occasion, because it is an occasion that is a blessing for all people, for all of mankind from that point onwards. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to take advantage of this great blessing and this opportunity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us get through these times where we're not able to see each other in the center. I am sitting here and there's no one here except for myself, and I'm sure you all, I see about 8 people currently are viewing this. Maybe one of them is my own device, so there's a few people that are on. Inshallah, Allah gets us through this and we are able to come together and convene and do the prayers. One first point here is not to take these blessings for granted. At any point, for various reasons, even if you think you're living in a part of the world where they're advanced on so many different levels and you don't have to worry about these types of things, all of a sudden something can come about and we have been stripped of the privilege of being able to convene, to come together as much as even 3 times a week and perform congregational prayers together. It's important for us to remember and be more thankful to Allah when the conditions change and we are able to meet. We need to take full advantage of that, inshallah. And that leads me to the main point that we want to discuss tonight, and that is taking advantage of and being thankful towards, doing shukr of the blessing of the Holy Prophet, him being given the mission of guiding all of us. If it hadn't been for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing us with the existence of the Prophet on earth, with his presence on earth, if he hadn't blessed him with the blessing of the Quran and the blessing of the message or the mission to guide mankind, you and I today would not be benefiting from the blessings of Islam. Being a Muslim, being able to read the Quran, see the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see Allah's guidance, experience His guidance, we would not have been able to be at this stage. We would not have it available to us. And the point is that we need to take advantage by making sure we take this guidance from Allah, from the Quran, from the Prophet, from the Ahlul Bayt, from the Imam of our time. That is doing shukr of this ni'mah. Otherwise, God forbid, the ni'mah, the blessing of Allah, the blessing of guidance, the blessing of the Quran, the blessing of the Ahlul Bayt, the blessing of being able to see the Ahlul Bayt as the extensions of the mission of the Prophet, the blessing of being able to see the Prophet as the last messenger of Allah. These blessings should not be taken for granted. They could be taken away. In order to understand this, the first thing that we need to discuss is understanding the blessing of this guidance that has come our way. Understanding the blessing of the guidance that has come with the Holy Prophet. Understanding the blessing of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam himself. We truly forget, and sometimes not only do we forget, we don't even realize and recognize the magnitude, the extent at which we are dependent on this guidance in our livelihood, in our well-being, in our spiritual well-being. Brothers and sisters, if we see, and this is going to be a little difficult for some to swallow, but it's important for us to see that. If we see the world where we see it, if we see the world with the positives, there's two ways, or three ways rather, to look at the world, our surroundings. There's a pessimistic way, that all which is seen is negative. There's an optimistic way, perhaps, that would only focus on the positives and not see the negatives. And there's a realistic way of looking at our surroundings, the environment we live in, the world we live in. And that is an approach that would allow us to see both the positive and the negative. While we see the negatives of the wars that are happening, the killings that are there, the mass migrations that have been caused by human behavior, the oppressions that have taken place in the various continents and are still taking place, while we see those negatives, there are also positives that should be seen on a global scale. Besides the positives that we should be seeing in the Muslim world and the progress of the Muslimin, and so on for another time, I'm talking about something more than that. The benefits, the blessings, the blessing of having governments in the West that are not as openly cruel and oppressive as they used to be. Sometimes seeing the negative of today, or the negatives of today, the disadvantages of today, the shortcomings of today, which is important for its own purpose, sometimes seeing that prevents us from seeing the progress that mankind as a whole has made. Let me mention a couple as examples. There were times where people officially considered themselves to be better than others. Today, if you see idiots like Trump making statements that sound as such, you see an outcry. You see people throughout the globe, average people on social media, politicians in the same country that he is making that comment, politicians in the same party and probably in his own household. When he makes sexist comments, people around the world have an outcry. They are outraged. They make comments about that. Where there were times where in this same world that we are living in the Western Hemisphere, in the Western world, in Europe, in the East, in the Far East, in China, and in other regions, the rulers of those areas officially considered themselves better than the rest of the people, and they considered themselves privileged in being able to rule over the others, and others need to obey them. A concept that has almost entirely been removed from our dictionaries. We don't have that idea as bluntly as it used to be. There are still arrogant people in the world, but those arrogant people have to at least act as though they believe that people are equal and they should all have similar privileges. They should all have access to resources, and they should govern themselves. This is a common belief throughout the globe. Whether you go to the East or to the West, in the Muslim world or outside of the Muslim world, one of the common beliefs that currently exists is that people are the authority to govern themselves. They are responsible and they have a right to it, and you don't have someone else having a right to govern them for their own personal gains, benefits, privileges, and so on and so forth. This is an Islamic divine teaching that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us through the Holy Prophet. Is it feasible? Is it possible? Is it logical? Does it make sense for a world that has not received this guidance from Allah, this guidance from the Holy Prophet, this guidance from the Quran, from the Ahlul Bayt, a world governed by kings and queens and emperors, rulers that rule based on their desires, based on what they see best for themselves? If the world would have been led by these people, these ideologies, without the presence of divine teachings, without the presence of the Holy Prophet and the Quran, would it have come to what we are seeing today? The answer to the question is obviously that is impossible. It is the guidance of Allah, the guidance of the Holy Prophet, that has caused these positive changes. Yes, we are still seeing that, unfortunately, most of the rulers of the world who speak this language are hypocrites, and they don't actually believe in people governing themselves, that government should be a government of the people, for the people. The benefits should go towards the people. Decisions should be made for the people, not a few, not an elite, not an oligarchy, not a royal family. There are unfortunately very few in this world that believe in that truly and implement it. Many say it when they get involved. When they are in that position, unfortunately, they behave differently. However, the fact of the matter is that the globe today does not accept for a person to consider it their own personal right to rule over others for their own benefits and consider themselves privileged and so on and so forth. And that is an Islamic teaching. That is a divine teaching. That is a Quranic teaching. That is the blessing of the Prophet reflecting. If the world today is calling out on a global scale for justice, which shows itself in different ways, this global cry for justice, the calls for justice from the various regions, parts of the world, especially when conditions are such that people are seeing injustice before their eyes. This public awareness against injustice and the will and the want to move towards a just society on a global scale, this is not the teaching of the tawaghit. This is not the teachings of the tyrants. These are divine teachings. If they have become global and widespread, this is the blessing of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, the guidance of Islam in the current day, obviously led by the Imam of our time. On a personal level, brothers and sisters, the blessings of Islam that we are not taking advantage of, I'll give you a couple of examples. We're living in a condition, I was just seeing something in social media where a person was, and a lot of people seem to be talking about this, about mental health. Nobody thought that we had to self-isolate. We would have to stay in our houses for prolonged periods of time. And we don't really deal with that situation, with that condition. The condition of there being a fear of a virus, before even the self-isolation that many areas, including our area here in Southern California or in all of California and perhaps in all of the U.S. now, I'm not sure what exactly the state is. When there is a fear of there being conditions that are not predictable, how do we feel? What is our state of mind? This has to do with what is called today mental health. What is the state of our minds? What is the state of our heart? What is the state of our soul? A lot of people are not affected by the coronavirus or by any virus, but it doesn't mean that they're happy people. If at some point we would think it would be so nice for people not to have to work, not to have to go to school, not to have to go through all these things that you must, just sit down at home and just relax. Well, now we have a situation where we actually can't work, some of us or a lot of us. It seems like many people are affected by this and they are supposed to work at home or from home or not work at all. Do schooling from home or not do schooling at all. Now all of us have ended up at home. Instead of it being a pleasant experience, it is proving that it's actually very difficult. The comments that I'm seeing just looking at what's out there on social media is that a lot of people are having problems. The state that should have been a state where we would feel relief and start getting to things that we wish to do if we had all that free time on our hands, it's proving more difficult than that, and people are having trouble with that. Islam, the Quran, implementing those teachings, these are not words, these are not books to read. Guidance, this is the point here, taking guidance on board, implementing it, being guided, being of those that the Quran says, الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. We ask in the prayer with God's words in Surah Al-Hamd, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Oh Allah, take us to the right path. We believe we have some of the knowledge. That's not being guided, at least to the full extent or a fuller extent. We ask Allah to guide us. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path of those that you have blessed. These are prophets. These are shuhada. These are awliyaullah. They are the people that have been guided. We're asking Allah for that. That's not knowledge, knowing there's something out there. It's about actually being guided, the heart being guided. There's verses of the Holy Quran that talk about believers, and the type of guidance they have is like they have a flashlight, not in the hereafter, right here in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them this light that they're able to walk with it. What that means is that they're able to behave based on divine guidance. Every step they take, every word they say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the Quran. This is not about prophets and imams. This is mu'minun, believers. If they follow, if they are believers, meaning they accept Allah, they accept the Prophet, they accept the Quran, and they adhere to it, God will give them this nur, this light in themselves, that they walk with it, they behave with it, they speak with it, they are silent with it, they go to sleep with it, they wake up with it. Every step of the way is based on guidance. They see what direction is the direction that will take them to prosperity. They will see that. I'll ask you, if we have that light, would it be difficult to stay at home? Would there be a mental burden, a spiritual, psychological burden on the person to stay at home? If they have that light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us guidance. The Prophet has given us guidance. We as people individually, the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given would cause us, the result of that in our internal state, as the Quran says, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهُ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah, they don't have fear, they don't have grief. And then we don't take the Quran that's been provided to us. The Prophet has come forward, and he has presented us with this guidance, the word of God. In their own words, as guided people that are leaders, the Prophet, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn, all the way to the 12th Imam, who is alive right now, and is part of this world. He lives on the same planet while this whole fiasco is happening. He's part of this. They have presented us with this guidance. We leave this for political guidance. We refer to politicians. For political guidance, we look for academics that have studied what? Have studied the words of human beings. Trial and error. One day they come up with a term. The next day they come up with another term. One system, another system. I don't need to mention names. As Muslimin, what do we go to for political prosperity? If you look at the Muslimin as a whole, the politicians of the Muslimin and the masses of the Muslimin, we are so misguided, so lost. We are so, unfortunately, instances of al-dhalin. Dhal means someone who's lost. We are so lost that we don't even realize that in order to get to prosperity, we are going to our own conquerors. People that have brought about the conditions that our people, the Muslims in the Muslim world, are living under. The reason why the people in the Muslim world have not been able to advance is because of Western countries. The reason why they haven't been able to take advantage of their own resources, Western countries. Who do we look up to for models, examples to look up to for a political system? Western countries. SubhanAllah. What happened to the Quran? What happened to the Prophet? What happened to Amir al-Mu'mineen's government? What happened to the words of the Imams afterwards about what a governor should be like, what a system of governance should be like? Politicians, masses, Muslimin, we look highly towards the West. We move, some of us have moved out here. The reason simply is that we think that there's prosperity here. It's not back in the Muslim world. What happened to Islam? Now, by no means am I suggesting that we should all leave. It's wajib for us to leave. That's not the idea at all. And that's not a teaching. For such a teaching to be presented to the masses of the Muslimin in the West, there should be either a fatwa by a marja, if it would be a matter of fatwa, which we don't have any fatwa as such, or it would be a responsibility of the Imam of the Muslimin, Ayatollah Khamenei, for him to give an order that Muslimin should leave non-Muslim lands, leave the West, leave wherever, and move to the Muslim lands. There is no such order. And therefore, Islamically, there is absolutely nothing wrong with living in the West. Doesn't mean we don't have responsibilities. We have responsibilities whether we live in the West or in the East, in the Muslim world, or outside of it. There are responsibilities, and we need to understand what they are. But the idea that the very fact that you're living out there, or living out here, rather, I should say, and we are part of a system that charges us taxes, whatever we buy, whatever clothing, food, utensils, technology, whatever we buy and whatever we earn, we are paying taxes on them, that is going to cause us to be part of a system of injustice and part of the injustice in the Muslim world, part of the injustice against the Islamic Republic, against Iraq, against the Muqawama, against Palestine, and so on and so forth. This is not a correct understanding. This is not an Islamic teaching. The point, however, remains that where are we looking towards? I'm not saying it's haram to move out here. What's the motive, however? What's the reason for moving out here? What is the thought process? That needs to be corrected. You're out here, fine. You're out, you have responsibilities. We've got to correct that understanding of ours. Sometimes when criticism is made of the system, the atrocities, the oppressions, and so on and so forth, like, if you don't like it, leave. Excuse me, that's not correct. We are not leaving. This needs to be corrected. Making these comments about the problems of this establishment, of this government, the problems of Western culture, Western ideology that is being pushed by the elite in the West, that is not to say that, oh, we're unhappy with it, let's get up and leave. No, these are wrongs that need to be corrected. And we're going to stay here and make sure they are corrected. That's the idea. The thought process should change. It's not about living here or not living here. There are Muslimin that wish to live here. They don't have the means. Is that a good thing? People come to know, we were in Qom, they're like, are you stupid to have left the United States of America? You're born there to come to Iran and study and become a clergy? Are you kidding me? No, I'm not stupid. I think you're stupid. You are unfortunately not using the intellect that God has given you to realize that guidance comes from Islam, and wherever that is found, that's the place to go and get it. There are people that wish to be out here. The thought process, the mentality, the views, the heart, that needs to change. On the political level, one way. On mental health issue, unfortunately, I am seeing that people are not considering, they've come up with this new term, mental health, and then suddenly everything has changed. What about Islam? What about the Quran? What about the Ahlul Bayt? And it's a matter of expertise. People can't just pick up the Quran and say, okay, I've studied mental health here or there or whatever, and then put something together and then attribute it to the Quran. This is called tafsir bil-ra'i. Brothers, sisters, we have to be careful. It needs to come from the Quran and not given and forced on the Quran. The Quran is a book filled with deep guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what to do and what not to do in order to have a state of mind, a state of heart that is tranquil. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Why do you think that, oh, I'm doing this, it's not calming me down, then mental health should be resolved from some other procedure, some other ideology, some other go and feel happy about this, go feel happy about that. None of that is going to give you real tranquility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. You have to question whether that's a dhikr of Allah. Saying subhanallah, if it's not curing, then there's a problem with that dhikr. Fix that problem. Don't say, oh dhikr, that's not what it means. It means something else. What does it mean? I don't know, but it means something else. What's the guidance there for? Why does God use that word? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهُ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. This khawf is what leads to anxiety. Anxiety is an instance of khawf. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهُ لَا خَوْفٌ. There's no anxiety for awliyaullah. You want mental health? You want to be relieved of the problems that you feel unhappy? Islam, the Quran, the Prophet, the Imams have presented that. Don't go and fight it outside and bring it and say, oh, Islam says the same thing. No, Islam doesn't say the same thing. Islam is built on a foundation. Your worldview, your beliefs have got to be corrected. A person who thinks that viruses and aliens and people just start going nuts on their own, and suddenly you have a catastrophe on your hands, and there's nobody in control of this system, cannot feel safe any moment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually states this in the Quran, of course, in a different context, and bringing it as a proof that God exists. If God wanted to, the ceiling could fall on your head right now. For those who think there's no God, then what is keeping you? Any second, this gravity could go away. Who says all these molecules decided on their own to have gravity? What if next second they decide they're not going to have gravity? If it was on their own, then at any point, all the molecules in your body could just start behaving the opposite of what they're behaving right now. What's keeping it together? A worldview that does not see an Allah, a worldview that does not see Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahmanu 'ala al-'arsh istawa. If you don't have this worldview, the all-compassionate is Rabbul Alameen. The Lord of the heavens and the earth is Ar-Rahman, the all-merciful. If you haven't made that the foundation of your thought, if you still think, well, what if this would happen? What if that would happen? What if suddenly the whole world will come to an end? Is that Ar-Rahman? You talking about a wise, just, merciful, compassionate God that is in control of everything? Or are you talking about, oh, there's a God, but maybe this can happen on its own? The foundation of the thought, belief is not correct. There's no way on earth you can have tranquility when you haven't fixed your worldview. Dhikr of Allah, that it says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ, is reminders of Allah being in charge of this system. Ar-Rahman being in charge of this system. Allah being waliyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Feel safe. God is your Mawla. That reminder, of course, it gives you tatma'innul qulub. I feel like I'm on my own, and what if this happens? What if that happens? Remind yourself. هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما. He's the one that sends his blessings on you, believers. And he has his angels. Thousands, millions of angels are set there to send blessings on you. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He's always been compassionate towards believers. Very compassionate, very merciful towards believers. تَحِيَّتُهُمْ يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنَهُ سَلَامٌ. You're worried about death? That's the moment you meet Allah. Your greetings, the moment that you meet Allah. This verse says in Surah Al-Ahzab, I'm reading two verses of Surah Al-Ahzab. تَحِيَّتُهُمْ يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنَهُ. The greetings of the believers the day that they meet Allah is salam. Not the words salam. Just imagine when you say, when a person, a believer, a mu'min that has taken the guidance of Islam, the guidance of the Prophet, the guidance of the Imams on board, the moments that we as material beings are seeing that person lifeless, they cannot speak anymore, and the heartbeat is finished, is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with everything that is there, with the angels, with everything that's in barzakh, with the imams, Amirul Mu'mineen is brought to that person to say salam. Everything from that point onwards is a blessing. A person who is a mu'min and believes this and sees it and is reminded of this, can you feel? Is it even possible to feel afraid? Ala bi dhikrillah tathmin. Yes, with the dhikr of Allah, tranquility comes. Tranquility that has not been experienced. You can sit down and make yourself, remind yourself of whatever you've experienced in your life. This person, that person, you have this blessing, that blessing. Yeah, these are fine as blessings of Allah, but if you don't remind yourself of Allah and Him giving those blessings and Him being Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, next minute, you'll forget, well, you had all those blessings, but what about next? Maybe I won't have those blessings. Yeah, if it was on its own and you were happy about having this or having the other, the question does pop in, and it's a reasonable question. What about the next moment? What if I'm in difficulty, in hardship? There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Why should there be light at the end of the tunnel? If there's no God, or if there's a God that's ruthless, there's a being, there's beings that have no mercy, they're in charge, or nobody's in charge, why should there be light at the end of the tunnel? But with Allah, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, Allah, the Rahman, the All-Merciful, is sitting on the throne, in control, in charge. Everything is under His control. Whatever happens, remind myself, these are instances. If you forget, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa, the Quran reminds the Prophet and teaches us to remind ourselves in moments when we feel that maybe God has left us. Maybe God, is God there? Al-Ayyadu Billah. Surah Al-Dhuha is an amazing surah. I recommend all the brothers and sisters read this. There was a point in the history of the Prophet where revelation was not coming, as we understand it, because as we've mentioned on multiple occasions, it's very difficult to understand the Prophet. We have limitations, very limited in fact. We can't understand them. As a human being, or from a human being's perspective, I should say, not looking at the Prophet as just a human being. He is human, and it shows that humanity can reach such a proximity of the divine beyond our imagination. That's what that proves. However, looking at him as an average human being, from our perspective looking at him, it seems like the dependence on revelation for guidance is one which, if the angel Jibreel does not bring that revelation, the connection is not there. So for a period of time that seems to have gotten a little prolonged, revelation wasn't coming. Now for the believers around the Prophet, they started saying things. They started saying, well, maybe something the Prophet did has angered Allah. Allah is angry with him, and he therefore has left him. Or some have said, well, maybe God has left him for whatever reason. He's no longer with him. These whispers of the shaitan were coming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the Prophet to answer those. Otherwise, as I said, the Holy Prophet is above and beyond. We can't really understand. We shouldn't understand him from our perspective. We should realize that he's above that. But it does help us, however. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal-duha wal-layli idha saja. Allah swears by two times of the day. Al-duha is when the sun is out and about. It's not midday yet. It's not noon time. It's before that. It's in the morning. But it's not early morning where the sun has not shown its face or it's barely up there. It's a little after that. This is called al-duha. Wal-layli idha saja. And nighttime when it's dark. So the daytime when it's just become bright, and nighttime when it's become pitch black, because initially nighttime starts with sunset. It's still bright in the horizon. Even in the sky, you can still see some light. Eventually, it gets pitch black, and that lasts for areas that we live in. It lasts for a number of hours. Then it starts getting bright again, which is Fajr. When it gets dark, pitch black, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by those times. And think for yourself about why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by those times. But he says, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not angry at you. وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ فَتَرْضَى. The Akhirah, he's all reminders for us, brothers and sisters. Allah is there. He has not left you. If you're a mu'min, if you're a believer, even if you have shortcomings, God doesn't leave you. Allahu aliyu alladhina amanu. And if you feel like you've gone too far, still say, Astaghfirullah, oh Allah, I do believe in you. You are the Lord. To remind yourself of that. Say those words. Do istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell you, Allah hasn't left you. He's angry with you. Now we're left to ourselves. No. Where does it say that in the Quran? Allahu waliyyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Why are we told to repeat Ayatul Kursi so much, and then the two verses that come after that one ayah? The second one is this: Allahu waliyyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. To have that trust with Allah, trust Him. Whatever we do, we should have that trust. Anyway, back to Surah Al-Dhuha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has not left you. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. He's not angry at you. Of course, if we've committed sins, we should do istighfar. Once we do istighfar, God is no longer. For the Prophet, he's not angry at him at all. وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. Don't worry about the hardships of this world. Whatever good is given you to you in this world, whatever good that can be given to you, and it will be given to you, that's the next verse. But the hereafter is better for you than this world. Be patient with this world. The hereafter is better than this world for you and for believers. This is mentioned in other verses of the Quran. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Wait, eventually God will give you plenty and abundance in this world as well. Then the main point that we started Surah Al-Dhuha says, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Didn't we find you an orphan? We gave you a place. We gave you comfort. We gave you a home. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. Allah found you. You didn't have guidance of yourself. God provided you with guidance, which is an important blessing. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. You had a family. You didn't have anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided you sustenance. We need to remind ourselves. When we forget that Allah is in charge, yeah. Remind yourself, but remind yourself not of those blessings only. Remind yourself, God provided all of that. He's there. I've already experienced that. to be reminded that he's still there. Right now, if you feel he's not there, like in Surah Al-Duha, we're saying he's not there, he's not with you, he's not guiding you, he's not helping you, he's not in charge, he's angry with you, all the... No, remind yourself, look what he did here, what he did there. And each of us have had these experiences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. It doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter what we're going through. Everything that he's putting us through as mu'mineen is to remove us from darkness into light. This gives us tranquility. This gives us the itminan, the tranquility, the calmness. This removes anxiety. This removes depression. How can you be depressed? Depression is a state of sadness, grief. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. If you're the friend of Allah, if you see God in everything, if you see Him touching you, if you see Him blessing you, how can you be in that state of sadness, deep sadness, demotivated, deflated, depressed? How can that be? And they say, oh, the remembrance of Allah for people who are depressed, don't tell them to read more Quran. Why shouldn't they be told to read more Quran? Who says that's not the solution? Are you someone, an expert in the Quran, that you're saying that that's not in the Quran? Allah has given us these guidances. What do? Unfortunately, we act as though He has not provided that to us. We start looking for outside sources. This is the night of Mab'ath, brothers and sisters. If you look, I don't know if it was put in the email or not, there are a'mal that have been given to us. And if I want to sum up, I don't want to mention the details of the a'mal, but we see that chapters are told to us to be recited. Surah Al-Hamd, Surah Al-Qadr, Surah Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, Surah Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, Surah Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq. Unfortunately, the way we deal with these chapters of the Quran is that we think these are some superstitious thing that you just hang on your door or in your car or hang it here or put it over here on your arm or somewhere, and they're supposed to be helping you out. Did we look at what is said in these chapters? A person who has fear of people. You have fear because there are people that can do wrong things, do bad things. There are people that seem, from our perspective, what are we told to do? Read Surah Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. What are we saying there? We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. O Allah, or God tells us rather, He addresses us, He says, Qul, say, A'udhu, I seek refuge. I need refuge. Who do I seek refuge? To Allah. But how is that term? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. I seek refuge in the Lord of people. The Lord means He's in control. He's in charge of people. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. If that word didn't click for you, He's the sovereign king of the people. No one can lift a finger without His will. مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. He is the real ilah of the people. Not that people should worship Him. That's not the message of this chapter. He is the one that people are existentially worshiping, meaning they are obeying His command. Whatever anyone does, that's the flip side of Malik. If He is the ruler, a real sovereign king, that means His command is obeyed, or therefore people obey Him. Malikin nas, ilahin nas. Min sharr al-waswas al-khannas alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudur. Another interesting thing in this chapter is that we're seeking refuge to Allah from the whispers of the shaitan. Those are the things that are dangerous. The whispers of the shaitan that make us feel depressed. The whispers of the shaitan that make us feel at loss. The whispers of the shaitan that make us feel God isn't there. He's not in control. This person can do this. That person can do that. God forbid superstition is added. Al-ayadu billah. Bad eye. Oh my God, they saw this. There's going to be bad eye. What am I going to do? You're told, read this chapter. Seek refuge to Allah or in Allah. For what? من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. They're distracting me. Allah is in charge, not these people. Allah is in charge, not superstition. Allah is in charge, not jinns. Allah is in charge, not these kings and queens and presidents and systems. Allah is in charge. The waswas al-khannas, the shaitan wants to come and whisper these other things and get me off course. All of this guidance has been given to us. And the night of Mi'raj, we're told to repeat these. These are not some ritual to do. And why are you told to repeat? We need reminders of this. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Repeat that 7 times. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. When I'm afraid what people are going to do because of their jealousy. Different beings can harm me. Yeah, but is it outside of God's range, His authority, His domain, His kingdom, His reign? No. You seek refuge in Allah. Repeat that. You can't protect yourself. Some writing can't protect you. Some person can't protect you. Allah can protect you. Seek refuge in Him. Repeat that. And then in that process, well, if He's controlling, in control, nothing can happen. And if He's in control and He's the Lord of the believers, He's removing them from darkness into light, why should there be any fear, anxiety? The a'mal of tonight have a lot of these reminders. They have a lot of these reminders for us, which are all from the Quran. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with these reminders, repeating them, reading them, thinking about them, correcting our views of the world, of our surroundings, of ourselves, of our soul, of our psyche, as of our bodies, of everything, corrected with what we find in the Quran. And after correcting this, it'll change our behavior. That's going to be when we're going to be believers. We're celebrating the night of Mab'ath, brothers and sisters. Let's all collectively make the decision to pay closer attention to this blessing that started for us on this great day, and send our blessings that we don't have. We ask Allah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, wa barik ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, wa tarahham ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, wa tahannan ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, ka afdali ma sallayta wa barakta wa tarahhamta wa tahannant ala ahadin min anbiya'ika wa asfiya'ika wa awliya'ik. Oh Allah, bless the Prophet for this great blessing that he's brought us from you. Bless his household, his daughter, his cousin and son-in-law, Amir al-Mu'minin, his grandson, sons, and his grandchildren, the rest of the Imams. And oh Allah, send your salawat upon the Mahdi, the Imam of our time, the guide of our time, the leader of our time. Wherever he is, we ask him to, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please his heart with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten His return. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become the true and close companions of the Imam of our time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all of us get through the conditions that we are in. Not health-wise, that is something, it's obvious, and everybody is praying and thinking about that. What I'm more worried about, whether I live through this or I die, is my soul dying, my soul declining, my soul leaving some of the core beliefs, or if Allah wants, inshallah, progressing in this context, will Allah help all of us. You are our Mawla. Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. You are our Mawla. We hope that we're believers. We ask you for forgiveness for ourselves. Whatever we've done that causes you not to be our Mawla, please be our Mawla, be our guardian. Take us from the darkness that we are in, the darkness that our hearts are in, that our minds are in, our mental state is in. Remove us from that darkness into light, into your light, worthy Ahlul Bayt, the Holy Prophet. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests. We ask Him to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa alih rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'a salawat. InshaAllah, Allah accepts, and fi amanillah. Parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests. We ask Him to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alih rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'a salawat. InshaAllah, Allah accepts, and fi amanillah.